Christian discipleship. Let's just say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, for the privilege and opportunity to fellowship with one another, brought us together as a family. We thank you for that which you do amongst us by your Spirit and by your word. We ask that this morning, as we look into your word, you will cause us to be fed in our heart. We will receive clarity, that which comes with clarity, instruction, precision of thought in your will and in your counsel. You help us to appreciate that work responsibility that you've given to us, even as a church, to the end that we understand and we walk in the same. We ask that this morning, questions are going to be answered in our heart. Clarity will be received. There will be precision as such in that which you leave amongst us to do. We ask this, that every heart will receive your word, will embrace your thoughts. Every nuance, every opinion, every contrary thought will be subdued by your word. We ask that your word will gain ascendancy over our thoughts this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that we together, as a church, we will behold him and we will see ourselves as he sees us in him. We will all be edified and your name will be glorified. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. What's our text again? Matthew 28 or Matthew 9? Where do we go to? Do we go to Matthew 28 or Matthew 9? I stick with Matthew 9. Amen. You could go to Matthew 28. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 9. In 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto the disciples, harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that they will send forth laborers into his harvest. Hallelujah. Okay. So we see a primary mission, are we together? He says, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. So we have a primary mandate. And Jesus says, in 37 years, he says, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send for laborers into his harvest, right? Now, if you look at verse 36, he uses the word shepherd, isn't it? So, we've said in the course of our study that God's laborers are shepherds. Amen. God's laborers are what? Shepherds. Hallelujah. God's laborers functions to shepherding. You say that? God's laborers function to shepherding. That work of shepherding is the primary mission of the local church. So I'm picking my thought from where we stopped. We've had quite a number of sessions before now. Praise God. Functions where? Through what? Yeah. God's labor. Pray ye therefore that he will send forth what? Laborers into the what? Into the harvest, into the field. So God's laborers are described as what? Shepherds. And I told you before we closed the last time, don't let lukewarmness redefine God's work to you. The scripture shows us what the work is, so you don't labor in vain. I told you that the greatest tragedy that can happen to a man is to do very effectively what God never told him to do. That's a tragedy. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. When you labor, you do effectively what you do. Praise God. They are functioning God's plan. They are functioning God's plan. Hallelujah. So God's laborers is described as what? As what? Shepherds. And I told you a lot about that already. I mean, we've gone through that severally. They are shepherds. So the work of God is shepherding. The work of God. Amen. Don't forget, one of the things said about shepherd is that he will provide what? He will provide what? He will provide direction. A shepherd will provide a shepherd will feed the flock. Don't forget Ezekiel 34, right? That's the text. God's shepherd will feed the flock of God. Will feed the flock of God. Look at 1 Timothy 5. Sorry, 1 Peter 5. Everyone, 1 Peter 5. He's not going to project it, though. Ah, where do you think you are? 1 Peter 5. Open your Bibles. 1 Peter 5. This is not a crusade ground. It's in the crusade ground that will project scripture. Because we're expecting people that are not born again. Are we together? Are we together? In the church, everybody is born again. In 1 Peter 5, look at verse 1. I want us to read together 1 Peter 5 and 1. Now you hold your hands in 1 Peter 5. Look at Acts 20. Acts 20. Are you in Acts 20? 1 Peter 5, Acts 20. Should I give you another text? No, I won't give you another text now. Just do 1 Peter 5, you get Acts 20. You know, you can't do that if you are projecting. How do we hold on to this one and then go there? Or you are using your phones. I don't know what is using phone this morning. Phone is not Bible. Amen? So look at Acts 20. Let's read Acts 20 first. Let's look at verse 27. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. So let's do 27 together. Once we go. For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel, of God. So he says, I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul is talking about the work of a shepherd. Amen. The work of a shepherd. To declare to you what? Someone say all. Someone say all. Now, what does it mean to you? I don't know if you think while reading the Bible, but you ought to think. If Paul says, I'm not sure to declare to you all of the counsel of God, that means a pastor is not expected to be a specialist of any subject. Is it clear? I mean, sometimes you come across people, it says, oh, my own message is not this, my own message is that. Don't say, my own message is prosperity. Don't say, no, my message is not prosperity. My whole message is holiness. Holiness. Don't say, oh, my whole message is deliverance. It's not holiness. It's not prosperity. My whole message is deliverance. Praise God. And I told you that's very dangerous. Because you're liable to misinterpret the scriptures that way. Because the one who says his message is holiness goes into the entire Bible and is looking for holiness, including text that doesn't talk about holiness. Then the other one is just concerned about money, prosperity. He goes into the Bible and he wants to teach prosperity all of his life. So he goes and starts twisting Bible text, including the one that doesn't talk about prosperity. So the preacher of the gospel is not a specialist. Paul says the whole council. Someone say the whole council. That means the pastor will teach you on holiness. Are we together? The pastor will teach you on prosperity. Are we together? The Christian way. Is it clear? The pastor will teach you on faith. The same pastor will teach you on healing. He will teach you on forgiveness. He will teach you on walking in love. He will teach you on ministry. The pastor will teach you on prayer. The pastor will teach you on giving. Amen. The pastor will teach you on how to read your Bible. How to pray. How to live exemplary Christian conduct. The pastor will teach you all of the counsel of God. So, a preacher, a shepherd, is not a specialist. He focuses on the entire counsel. So we can have a matured believer on all sides. Praise God forevermore. So look at that text again. He says, have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. 28, everyone want to go? Take ye therefore unto yourselves and to the flock. Someone say flock. Now, if he uses the word flock, you know that's an agricultural word, right? If he uses the word flock, he says, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. So an overseer of the flock is called a shepherd. The overseer of the flock is called the shepherd. Then it is over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. Glory to God forevermore. Which he has purchased with his own what? With his own blood. Then he says that word flock again, 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Are we together? Now look at this. Look at this. Just look at something there. A little bit of detail you might have missed out if you're not careful. Look at 28 again. What did he say they should do to the flock of God? To what? To feed, right? Right? Look at 28 again. See how he started. Take heed, therefore, to what? And, okay, so they will take heed to the flock, right? Will the shepherd take heed to the flock? So the shepherd takes heed to the flock. Say, I take heed to the flock. Then, the next thing he says is what? To what? To feed. Right? Praise God. Alright. Acts 20 now. So he says, to take heed to what? Yourself. And also to what? The flock. All the flock, right? Now, let me leave out the emphasis on all for now. All the flock. Isn't that the emphasis? But it says to the flock, isn't it? So, he says, take it to the flock. Now, what are the next thing he says? The Holy Ghost has made you what? Overseer. So, he calls the shepherd the overseer, right? Now, I told you something, that someone is not called an overseer because he looks at one thing. When someone is called an overseer, it's because he oversees a number of things. So, there are a group of things under his watch. That's an overseer. There are a number of things he looks after. An overseer. So he says the Holy Ghost has made you what? Overseers. Then what's the next thing he says? What's the next thing he says? He says to feed what? The church of God. To feed the church of God. Now observe that he mentions to feed. He mentions to feed. He says to feed the church of God. An overseer. So part of the work of the shepherd is to feed. To take responsibility for the nourishment. Are we together? Now I won't talk much about the feed this morning. I'll do that some other time. To feed the flock. That's the leader's meal. To feed the flock. But it says to feed the flock. To provide nourishment. To provide nourishment. To take responsibility. That means as a shepherd, God will hold you responsible for the knowledge in the heart of the flock. If your work that the flock of God is well fed. And it goes beyond explaining Bible to them. No. There are other responsibilities that is built on that. Because having taught them the word, you now need to go off the pulpit and ensure that they understand what was taught. That's beyond Sunday morning. It goes into Sunday evening, Monday morning. Part of feeding the flock is that you are there with them, you check on them. Sometimes an emphasis that the flock has been fed on is supposed to produce a result. When that result is not yet there, it is your work to check. Is this person really fed in that area? A disciple is sick and you expect that the fellow should be able to stand on God's word and receive healing. And the fellow is not getting healed yet. It's your responsibility. Does this person really understand healing by God's power? And then you strengthen the person's faith. And that goes beyond Sunday or Thursday. And that's where the work is. That's why I said the work is shepherding. The work of a preacher, the work of a pastor is not just to come on Sunday and declare texts and then disappears. Then the pastor travels to Australia for vacation. And then Saturday night is back to declare more scriptures. After Sunday meeting, he's gone again. No. The shepherd is found among the sheep. He declared church. The shepherd is with the sheep. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." The shepherd of the sheep is with the sheep. You are with your disciple. You are there. Glory to God. That's why I said, you don't get someone saved. I said, find any Bible-believing church and join there. For what? That's being stupid. You don't get someone saved and then say, now that you are saved, find any Bible-believing church. How? The sheep is with the shepherd. We don't do bone throwaway. You know bone throwaway? You go get pregnancy somewhere. You can't take it, so you give birth to you, put it beside the gutter. For a good Samaritan to pick the child and take care of. No, we don't do bone throwaway. We take responsibility. I take responsibility. And the pastor is not a specialist. So he says to take it. So you see two things. Amidst other things. You see two things. In that text. Look at that text again. Acts 20. 28. He says to take it, right? Right? Can we say to care for? Huh? Can we say to watch out for? To look out for? Right? To take heed to the what? To the flock of God. How? Number one, he says what? To feed the flock. To feed the flock. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse 29. Everyone, want to go? Now, look at it. What you just read, what does it connote? Does it connote protecting the flock? Huh? So to take it, is it just about feeding? Does it protect? Imagine a shepherd said, I give them all the nutrition now. And a lion should have said, that's not my work. That's not my work. Guys, take care of yourself. I fed you, that's not my work. Or a shepherd goes to, you know, the field and begins to see strange growths or patches on the body of the flock. Then he calls the veterinarian. I'm saying this. You know, I used to produce birds in large quantity. And birds are very delicate. The moment one falls down like this, before evening. Or in 24 hours, you just see. At the time like that, I came to the animal house, came to the poultry, and then we saw all the birds. And they were not falling under the power. They were dead. I just look at them and say, my God, all the birds. I mean, there are some things that you see how, some other things you just say, you just be quiet. All the birds. Some of them, I don't know what will catch there. I don't know. That they'll be doing like this. New cancer disease. Who they call it? But you are the agriculturist here. So what do you mean by call it? He's the engineer. Because I had call it. I know it's call it. That's what we all call it. But I was expecting a more. What's call it? What did you call it, Jerry? Newcastle disease. That's it. Yeah, Newcastle disease. That. Don't worry, this is not a science class. Not a science class. Don't worry. Praise God. But we all know that thing, right? You know, there's just one. That's just merry-go-round. Somebody has entered.
Are we together?
Sometimes you try to apply vaccines, right? You open your mouth, you pray, by the time you press the big, you put the syringe. Who do you want to kill? Five K is gone. Yeah. You know when you do 5K, you do it counting down. 4-5, 4-1, 4,000, 3-9. Until it's 5 naira. You now see like 50 of that. You know that? Amen. So the shepherd also protects. He protects. Protects. So how do we feed to the flock of God? By feeding. Are we together? Are we together? And protecting. You feed, then you protect. How do you protect? You wound your disciples. Don't feed on this. Don't listen to this. Don't feed on that. Like sometimes I come here and I tell you about not listening to some folks on social media. Aimless guys. You see someone, he sits down before camera and he's talking to pastors. You sit behind camera just because you have an iPhone and data. You now feel you can talk to pastors of churches. He said, this message is to the body of Christ. Who? Where are they? As who? God doesn't talk to his body on Facebook. Are we together? God reaches out to his body in the churches. I showed you Psalm 68, right? Yeah, Psalm 68, verse 6 to 8. So that's the work of a shepherd. So I'm telling us that God laborers, I told you, don't let lukewarmness redefine the work of God to you. Where you think, John says, is it not about preaching the gospel? I can preach the gospel anywhere I am. No, you can't preach the gospel anywhere you are. We don't act on God's instruction our way. We do his word his own way. You cannot. The work of the ministry is done through the local church. The church. The church has to send you there. Whatever you do there has to be done in harmony, in unity, in accountability and submission to the church. You check the book of Acts. The apostles ministered the gospel in unity with the church. They saw themselves as men sent by the church to wherever they were. That was why even when persecution arose and Philip went as far as Samaria, when he got people saved, he still sent words to the church to show you that ministry is done in submission to a Yes, some people say, me, I'm an evangelist. That's why I don't have a church. No, you lie. You're not working for God. Evangelists, missionaries are plugged up to churches. Because the local assembly, what we call the church, the local churches, is God's plan on the earth. That is the ground for discipleship. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. 14 and 15. The church. I told you, ministry is not being school mommy, school daddy. That's not the work of a ministry. That is not serving God. Area brother, that's not serving God. Serving God is the work of shepherding, taking responsibility for people's spiritual development. That is serving God. Taking responsibility. It's not casually visiting people. It's not sharing rhema. Serving God is not sharing tracts. There's nothing wrong with tracts. Are we together? But it's not just sharing tracts. How are you serving God? I share tracts. No! Those who share tracts, they read it. That's their own business. No, it's you that you are wasting your effort. You're wasting your effort. Are we together? Serving God is not inviting people to program. Invite people to program. A man of God is coming to town. A man of God is coming to town. How many of us can invite 10 people? For every one person, we'll give you 5K. How many people should we invite? Unlimited. Don't worry. And the guy goes to one rural area. He mobilized. Brings like 5 buses. Said they are here. 5 FK. They have that for a 4-day crusade. That's business. And after the 4-day crusade, they did not now give him any money. That's where you see the doubt in him. We thought you were a shepherd. Shepherd. This is not shepherd. This is shepherd. You just remove God. Or you just call the pastor of the cutlass. Where's my 50? Are we together? That's not ministry. I'm not giving you imaginary stuff. So what I just said now happened last week. I don't have time for imaginary stuff. What I just said now happened last month. You're mobilizing people. Now, do we also mobilize people? But is it the same thing? No. Because the mobilization we do is that we see that this fellow needs to receive God's word. Then I take care of all the resources it takes for you to be found in that meeting. And I work on everything you need to have to be focused. And after the meeting, you're blessed, well fed, your life is changed, free. No one is promising anybody for money. No one is promising anybody money. Are we together? program, Bible program. Let's go to concert. That's not serving God. Taking responsibility. Ensure the person knows what it means to be saved. Ensure the person understands prayer and help the person to build a strong prayer life. Help the person know how to read the Bible. Take the person out on evangelism. Help him or her to win souls to the Lord. The person is having difficulty in their life that is becoming a distraction to knowing and serving God. Help by God's wisdom to take away the difficulty. Help the person to fulfill God's plans for their lives through teaching and follow up. Work of shepherding. Is it clear, church? Is it clear? Is it clear? That's the work of shepherding. So shepherding is deliberate. He says to feed the flock of God. That's 20:28. To feed the flock of God. The work of a shepherd is to feed, providing oversight. To feed, providing oversight. To feed, providing oversight. To feed, providing oversight. To teach, to feed. To feed. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? To feed. To feed the church. Look at first with that. I told you to hold your hands there. Cookie. First with the five. There are more texts, though. There's the John 20 text also. But I won't go there. Just look at 1 Peter quickly. Then we'll move on this morning. In 1 Peter 5. Can we take verse 1 together? Once you go. The elders which are among you are exalted, and also an elder. A witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2. Feed what? The flock of. Taking. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre. Filthy lucre means material gain. We are not feeding the flock of God for material gain. No. No. We are not feeding the flock for money, resources that we can get from them. No. No. It is not for filthy lucre, as crooked is in the Greek, but of a ready mind. Neither has been lords over God's heritage, but been examples to the flock. Hallelujah. Verse 4. It says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall what? Receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Look at it. He calls Jesus the chief shepherd. So the elder that is to feed the flock of God is the shepherd that is functioning under the chief shepherd. So when he says examples to the flock, examples of what? Examples of the chief shepherd. So I will function in Jesus' office toward the flock. I will siphon resources from them. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? I'll feed the flock. It has been examples to the flock. Being examples to the flock. Example of what? Example of the chief shepherd. So the work of God is shepherding. Is it clear? That's actually what I came to tell you this morning. That the work of God is shepherding. The work of God and the look is the ground of discipleship. It's deliberate. It's intentional. Amen. It's deliberate. It's intentional. We have been called to provide shepherdhood. We have been called to feed, to teach. So if Jesus sends people out to be shepherds, he sends them out not only to preach, not only to distribute rhema. Nope. He sends them out not only to gather crowds, but to actually provide shepherding. The sending is a mission to gather the lost sheep. I went over that before. And to bring them onto the shepherd, the chief shepherd, to gather the lost sheep, to bring them into the fold, and to provide leadership and spiritual nurture for them. I take it again. The work, the mission, is to go out and to gather the lost sheep. Who are the lost sheep? The lost sheep refers to the unsaved. Those who have not heard the gospel, or those who have heard but have not believed the gospel. There's another shade of the lost sheep. It is those who maybe have believed but are not found in the churches. They are not found in the churches. They are outside the family. Outside the family. So he sends you and I to go after the lost sheep, the unsaved and the unchurched. The unsaved and the unchurched. He sends us out to go after them, to praying, teaching and preaching. Through praying, teaching and preaching, to do what? To bring them into the sheepfold. To bring them into the sheepfold and to provide leadership and spiritual nurture for them. Is it clear, church? To bring them inside and to lead. To bring them inside and to provide leadership. To provide leadership for them. That is the work of discipleship. To bring in the lost sheep and to provide spiritual leadership and nurture for them. Those who are unsaved and those who are unchurched. Who is an unchurched person? An unchurched person is somebody that a pastor of a local church cannot say, this one is my church member. Yes. This is our church member. There is no church that can say, this is our church member. This is our church member. This is a part and a functioning part of our church. I told you the meaning of a member. A member. Now, you're sitting there right now, your body has many members. Your ear is a member of your body. You look at 1 Corinthians 12. Paul began to talk about members of the body. Your ear is a member. It functions for the body. Your eye is a member. Your eyes functions for your legs. Are we together? It tells them where to go, where not to step to. Are we together? Then your leg is a member. Your heart is a member of the body. Your nostrils are members of your body. Your kidney, your liver, your viscera, are we together? Your body organs, those are members of your body. So membership means a functioning part. A functioning part. A functioning part. That is why the biblical word for member is the word. You know, today we say, oh, you are a member of what church? I'm fine, we understand what you try to say. But if we go into the scriptures, the way that is described, we shouldn't ask you, you are a member of what church? It says, where are you being discipled? Because when we use such colloquial statements, it says, you are a member of what church? Sometimes people don't get the power and the value in it. That's why you find within a month or two, someone has changed churches like 10 times in a year. 5 times in a year. How? Supervisor. Are we together? A member means a functioning part. And it goes both ways. A member of the body receives nurture from the body and also supplies to the body. Are we together? That's a member. My eyes is sustained by the blood vessels, right? That enters into it from my body, from my brain. There are blood vessels that enters into my eyes behind the scene. Behind the scene. So it can function. There are blood vessels in my eyes. So when I eat, some of the food I take goes into the eyes. I need the light enters the eyes though. Are we together? It's broken down. Then it enters into my eyes. Are we together? Your nose. That's the reason why every part of your body is equally as fresh. Because the same nutrition is getting there. Is it clear? The same nutrition. Is it your nose that we can see from outside? Is it your mouth? Is it your eyes? Is it your ears? There are vessels that enters all of these things you can see from within, supplying the same thing that you take in, and also collecting what is waste from there, and then pushing it out either through your nose or your ears or your nostrils. Are we together? Or from the kidney. Is it clear? So a patch of a body means that you are receiving nutrition from that body. You are plugged up to the body and you take nutrition from it, and you also what? Supply to it. That is the meaning of a church member, a disciple. So that means you've been in the church. After a while, you can say, this is my church. This is my local assembly. This is where I'm being taught of the Lord. This is where I'm being trained to serve the Lord. This is where I'm being taught to serve the Lord. This is where I serve the Lord. Nobody serves God virtually. Nobody serves God, imaginary. Your service to God is your service to the church. Jesus says, whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, you've done unto me. When Paul was persecuting the church, Jesus came. He didn't say, why persecutest my church? He said, why persecutest me? But Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. No, he was. How? By persecuting the church. The church is Jesus. Saul, why persecutest thou me? As far as Saul was concerned, Saul was like, who are you, guy? What the hell? Who are you, man? Who are you, man? What the hell? Where are you from? I don't know you. I got nothing to do about you. Leave me born. Let me go. He says, no. Why persecutest thou me? How? Because you are persecuting the church. My service to the church is my service to God. My love for the church is my love for the Lord. My commitment to the church. Observe, I didn't say my commitment to the body of Christ. Where is the body of Christ? Where is the body of Christ? You can't even say this. You can't even point to the body of Christ. That local assembly is the body of Christ to you. As you serve that local assembly, that church, the church is able to function in its plan and also supply other churches. That is your own function to the entire body. The body of Christ, universal, where are they? Where do they live? Take me to them. Take me to the body of Christ. That local assembly is the body of Christ. It's the clear church. Sometimes today you see some young people, because they can sing, they have the gift of God to sing, they can sing, and they say, oh no, me I cannot let a church to corner me. My gift is to the body. Which, where is the body? You are just unruly. Go check all this. They call them gospel artists. They have issues with that description. But go check all these music ministers who have sustained several years of relevance in the music ministry. They are plugged up to churches. They are plugged up to churches. You know, I'm an evangelist. I can't. That's why I don't have a church. No. The evangelist is not the guy that does not have church. If you see anybody that doesn't have a church and claims to be an evangelist, he's a rogue. And he's not biblical. In fact, The meaning of the word evangelist, are we together, is descriptive of the work of a pastor. I told you, people have judged the evangelist as the guy that organizes crusades. It's not true. It's not biblical. There is no biblical basis for it. So I see somebody organizing crusades. He said that person is an evangelist. There is no biblical basis for it anywhere. There is no single Bible text for it. You say, my work is not evangelism. I'm not an evangelist. No, there is no Bible basis. Those manners those are just bad manners. Because people are not taught. People are not well fed. That's why you think to go and preach the gospel is the work of evangelists. No. The preaching of the gospel is the work of every believer, every Christian. Preach the gospel. So the local assembly is where you are taught and you are helped to know how to preach the gospel with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The evangelist. One of the misconceptions. Actually, that word evangelist was used 3 times in the New Testament books. You are jealous. You'll find the evangelist used in Acts 21. You find the evangelist in Ephesians 4. It's in 1 Timothy 4. 3 times. None of those instances imply the guy that holds crusades. In fact, 2 of the instances, it was used for the pastor. The pastor. Ephesians 4, when he spoke about the evangelist, he's talking about the work of the pastor. As the evangelist. The evangelist is descriptive of the work of the pastor. Ephesians 4. In 1 Timothy 4, evangelist is descriptive of the work of Timothy, the pastor. Are we together? And when it was used in Acts 21, it was used to describe Philip. Philip the evangelist. Why is he called Philip the evangelist? Look at those texts. Look at those texts. Are we together? The local church is the ground of discipleship. You see in Acts 21 verse 8. The next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist. We entered the house of Philip the evangelist. Are we together? Why does he use that description? Why does he use that description of Philip the evangelist? Just allow them in. It's very distracting. Praise God. Why does he use the description of Philip the evangelist? He uses that description to refer to the Philip. Don't be distracted. He uses that to refer to the Philip of Acts 8. Are we together? So he's describing the Philip of Acts 8. Philip the evangelist. By saying Philip the evangelist, he's taking your attention to see the Philip he's talking about. Are you with me? Are we together? There is nothing in that text that tells you that the evangelist is the one that organizes crusades. No. It's just an assumption. Now, some folks will say, since he said Philip the evangelist, so they assume that the reason why Philip is called the evangelist is because Philip goes out to preach the gospel, right? Now, if you look at that text, look at Acts 8 now. Acts 8. Are you with me? Look at Acts 8. Before Acts 8, you see Acts 5. In Acts 5, let's look at Acts 5 first. In Acts 5, in verse 35, and said unto them, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. In verse 36, before these days rose up Judas, boasting himself to be somebody who, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was what? Slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. Scattered and brought to naught. Okay, that's not the text I'm looking for. But look at Acts 8. Acts 8. That's not the text I'm looking for. Acts 8. Acts 8. Okay, actually it's Acts 8 1. That's the text I'm looking for. And then we'll look at Acts 8 5. 4 and 5. Are we there? Look at verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, let's read together. At that time, there was a great persecution. Can we take that again? And at that time, at Jerusalem, are you with me? At the church where? At Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of what? Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So, now, this is Acts 8, right? Don't forget in Acts 1, we had how many disciples are in Acts 1? 120, right? 120, right? What about Acts 2? About 3,000, right? 3,000, right? Okay. Then in Acts 3, we saw how many? So another 5,000, right? And then don't forget, after then, people began to be added to the church. Isn't it? In Acts 6, we saw a numerous number, right, of disciples in Acts 6. Now, so this was Acts 8. So in Acts 8 here, he says they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the what? The apostles. Now, 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentations over him. Now look at verse 3. As for Saul, he made what? Havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to what? To prison. For everyone, let's take it together. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere what? Preaching the word. Now let me ask you a question. How many people were scattered abroad? How many people were scattered abroad? All the saints, right? Because of persecution, were scattered abroad, right? Let's take verse 4 again. One to go. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to what? Look at this. Did Philip go to Samaria because he was an evangelist, or he goes to Samaria just like every other people were scattered and preaching? Can I get some responses, please? So he goes to Samaria, are we together? Just like every other person went to different places preaching, isn't it? Isn't it? So if we call Philip evangelist on the basis of going to Samaria, then how many evangelists do we have? All. So it's not a strong basis. Are we together? Are we together? It's not a strong what? Basis. So Philip is not an evangelist because he goes to Samaria. No. Are we together? Are we together? He was not called an evangelist just because he went to Samaria. The going to Samaria was because the entire church were scattered. And we were told that all the saints had the training of preaching the gospel everywhere they went to. So you cannot call someone an evangelist because he just goes somewhere, are we together, and he's holding crusades or preaching the gospel. No. The misconception came from what Philip did when he got to Samaria. He goes to Samaria, and then the whole city began to listen to the gospel. So people think, oh, because he's gathering crowd, he's an evangelist. No, that's not the basis. Are we together? This is the first time you see the word evangelist. So when you look at 1 Timothy 4, everyone, look at 1 Timothy 4. So if Stephen is called evangelist just because he goes to Samaria, are we there? How many people should be called evangelists? All the disciples. Now that's not possible, right? Right. So look at this. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Are you there in 1 Timothy 4? Where is it 1 Timothy 4? 2 Timothy 4. Praise God. Are you there? Look at verse 1. I charge thee therefore. Now this is writing to Timothy, right? And Timothy was a pastor, he declared. Alright. You look at 1 Timothy 1:3, you see that? 2 Timothy 1:2-3 also, you see that? 2 Timothy 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, the word. Are you paying attention? Preach the word, the word. Be instant in season out of what? Season. Now this is the work of the pastor. In season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. Are we together? Now, where was Timothy supposed to do this? Look at the first letter. Is it the second letter? Look at the first letter, chapter 3. Quickly, quickly, quickly. I need to be very fast. Look at 1 Timothy 3. So it says to teach the word, right? Exhort with long suffering and what? Doctrine, right? Even look at chapter 1, 1 Timothy. In verse 2, let's read on together. Everybody wants to go? Let's wait for others. Open your Bibles. It's not a decoration. They are not used to opening Bible. Alright. Want to go? Want to go? Verse 2, want to go? On Timothy, huh? Let's take it together. Want to go? Let's take it again. Want to go? Some people are not ready. Let's take it again. Want to go? Let's take it again. Want to go? Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some to teach no other doctrine. Right? So, to teach no other doctrine as a pastor. So, look at chapter 3. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Chapter 3. In verse 14, everyone want to go? These things write I unto you, open to come unto thee shortly. Verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the what? House of God, So is this Timothy's work in the church? I didn't get a response, so. Is this Timothy's work in the church? So Timothy is a pastor in the church. And Paul is giving him instructions as touching how to carry out his pastoral role and responsibility. So if he comes in 2 Timothy again, chapter 4, quickly, quickly, quickly. Verse 1 now. Verse 1. We read it before. 2 Timothy 4, 1. Once you go, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the instant in season out of. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering, and verse 3, everyone wants to go. The time will come when endure sound doctrine, but after their own law shall heap up themselves teachers, having itchy ears. Verse 4, they shall turn the way truth, shall be turned to fables. But endure, is this instructions going to a pastor? Is it an instruction going to a pastor? Where would Timothy carry this out? Is it within the church? Can I get responses? Is it instruction to a pastor? Executed within the church? Take it again, verse 5. Once you go, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work. Make full proof of thy. So, Timothy was told as a pastor to do the work of what? An evangelist. So, the work of an evangelist is the ministry of the pastor. Is it clear? I told you. So, that mindset of, evangelist is the one that organizes crusade everywhere. There is no Bible verse for it. No single verse, no basis. And many times when something has been practiced for a very long time, it becomes a general belief. It's not about what has been long time, what has been practiced for a long time. Yeah. What does the scripture say? Scripture say? The work of preaching the gospel is for every believer. You and I are called to share the gospel. I got to share the gospel. To share the gospel with people. To preach the gospel in your neighborhood. Preach the gospel. Your neighbor, preach the gospel. Within your family, preach the gospel. In your workplace, preach the gospel. On campus, preach the gospel. In the marketplace, preach the gospel. In the bus, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. See, I'm waiting for God to call me. You have been called. You are only lazy. Are we together? Are we together? The church is not an assembly of the called and the uncalled. The church only is an assembly of those who know and are responsible, and the ones who are not yet taking what? Responsibility. It's not the called and the uncalled that we have in the church. The church, rather, is the collection of those who takes responsibility and some others that have not been taking responsibility. All are called. Is it clear, church? All. Someone say all. Are you part of the all? Say, I am called of God to preach the gospel. Yes. Why do you think you have the Holy Ghost? Why do you think you have the Holy Ghost? The ministry of the Spirit is the Word of God. The reason why you have the Spirit of God is so that you can preach the gospel. Praise God forevermore. Do the work of the evangelist. That's the work of a pastor. The word euangelistis, which means the bearer of the news. What does it mean? That means, look at this. Evangelist means the news is always with him. The message is always with him. The news, the counsel of God is always with him. To do what? To impart on the flock. So he's not talking about holding crusades and having miracles. Philip went to Samaria as a member of the church with miracles. He does not have miracles because he's an evangelist. He has miracles because all these signs shall follow them that believe. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? All these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. They shall cast out devils. When Philip got to Samaria, did he cast out devils? Oh, you don't know? Look at Acts 8, quickly! Praise God forevermore. Acts 8. You observe, when you look at the ministry of Stephen, or Philip rather, in Samaria, when you look at the ministry of Philip, the signs he had were the signs of the believer. And I can stand by this statement anyway. The text explains itself. The text so much explains itself that, for you to know what I'm saying, Philip refused to minister something that were only meant for the apostles to minister at that time. To show you that he went there as a believer. Not that he couldn't minister it, but at that time of the church, only the apostles had the authority to minister what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So after he had established Christians in Samaria, he now sent for the apostles, come and do it. Not because he couldn't do it. So he refused, he chose to not minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To show you that is going to Samaria, are we together, was just as other believers scattered. He went there as a believer. So by Acts 6, we observe that he was an usher. A Christian, not an evangelist. But what people call evangelist? Is it clear, church? So look at me. As you are seated here right now, the power of God is with you. Is it clear?
Yes, sir.
Hey, money. You just don't know. The workings of miracles is right with you here as you are seated. It's because sometimes you are not taught. Sometimes you are not in the midst. You know, when you are not in the environment where it is done, you think that those who do it are of, you know, is a common inheritance. Is it clear? An average member, for example, of the church here in 2024, is that if you got over 50 people filled with the Spirit this year, can I see your hand? You got over 50 people filled. People in their tents filled this year, can I see your hand? With the Holy Ghost. With the Holy Ghost. People in their tents filled. Can I see your hand? Put it down. How many of you have gotten people filled with the Holy Ghost this year? Let me see your hands. Up. Gotten people filled with the Holy Ghost. How many of you have gotten people healed this year? Can I see your hand? You know what I'm talking about. That's not why you're an evangelist. Those are the signs of the believer. Are we together? How many of us have gotten people saved this year? Can I see your hand? Gotten people saved this year? I'm preaching to them. It's simple. It's just the whole church. It's the whole church. Those are the signs of the believer. It's the clear church. So if you look at Acts 8 there, Acts 8, in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of what? Samaria and preached Christ. Now look at 6, everyone. And the people with one accord gave it unto the things which he speak, hearing and seeing the what? The miracles which he did, for unclean spirit, kind of love, came out of many that were possessed with what? With them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were what? Were healed. And there were great joy in what? There was great joy in the city. So, you see workings of miracles, you see the gifts of healing, then you see the gift of faith. Those are the signs of the believer. Cast out devils, heal the sick, to work miracles. Those are the signs of the believer. When Jesus sent out the 70 in Luke 10, all of them did this. All of them did this. Is it all of them are evangelists? No. Faith in Christ puts you at that pedestal where you can minister the power of God. You have to be taught and trained to do that. Are we together? Are we together? So the other one is in Ephesians 4. And again, it refers to a measure of the gift of Christ, which is found in the maturing Christian. So what are we saying, church? The evangelist is not the one who holds crusades or big meetings. As a Christian, you can put together such a massive meeting. Is it clear? Is it clear? As a Christian. And put together. I remember I was in 2013 or 2014. One of the kids I was teaching and training in Ibadan there. After I had taken them through some prayer sessions in the night, we had a vigil, like daily. I trained them in vigils for like 2 weeks. We prayed every day, like 7 hours or 2 weeks. One of them had gone to the school and gotten a madman healed in the front of the school gate. I think he would be in, maybe he was around 9 or 10 years old then. I'm not sure, but it's between 9 and 11 then. I'm sure. I was around 20. Was it even up to that age? Around 20, yeah, 2013. It was 2013 or 2014. The judge just left a video one day, and then they had to go. I have to release them. Yeah, I release them around 5:36 in the morning so that they can dress up and go to school to be back again in the night. I was training them, about 15 or 16 of them. Different ones. One of them had gotten into the school and went into the staff room and laid hands on the teacher's chest. And she both got healed of a lump and spoke with tongues. It was now after that, I have to now say, they put in respect much more. He had in some respect. Because it was a wonder. One got up on the assembly ground. Different, I can give you different signs. I was any apostles. At the time, I was just like, don't tell me to old prophets. I taught them how to get people filled by them, and I was staying very far. I was staying very, very, very far. I take like 3 buses to get to that place. Every day I was coming, training them. By the time I get back there, so I now go over their reports. I did this. I said, so as I'm reading, I'm just swallowing saliva. Oluwa. Mighty result. The guy had gone to school and gotten a madman that had been in front of the school gate for a very long time. Got him very healed. And he was telling me, he said, I was feeling that thing. He said, I felt more fear. That I said, no. I just went there. I didn't even know. But I said, that's how it is done. You just got the person healed. Yeah. Got the madman healed. And then that led to almost the whole school, maybe not the whole school, but almost the whole school gathered. He now preached the gospel in the assembly ground. Are we together? Now, that is just like the Acts 3 event. The healing the man at the beautiful gate, then the crowd gathered. Are we together? As a Christian, not as an apostle. The power of God is within. Are we together? Are we together? It's simple. The power of God is within. The power of God is within. Amen. So, our work is the work of shepherding. And we are so enabled of God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The work of evangelism. The work of evangelism is the work of every believer. It's the work of every believer. Said, and I'll say again, that God has called us to be shepherds. He has called us to be shepherds of men and women. So soul winning and evangelism does not stop at a man hearing the gospel. That is just the beginning. That is just the beginning. Are we together? That is just the beginning. Look at Matthew text again. I'll begin to close today. Are you with me? In Matthew 9 again, Matthew 9 again. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. So we are shepherds. We are to be shepherds of the shepherdless sheep. Are we together? Don't forget, I described them as the unsaved and the unchurched. Anyone who cannot say that this is my church is described as Jesus as a lost sheep. We saw that in the text, right? 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 It's a lost sheep. The lost sheep primarily describes the unsaved, but it also talks about the unchurched. Because the purpose of the salvation is still not being fulfilled in the life of the unchurched. Did you get it? Did you get it? So we don't go after the unsaved alone. God's plan is also that the unchurched are reached. Because I told you that the church of God is God's project on the earth. See, there is nothing else that God is doing on the earth outside the church. Whether you like it or not, the church is the plan of God on the earth. Yes. With his inadequacies and weaknesses, God will use it. God will not use a perfect church because he can't find one. And the reason why it will not be perfect is because you and I are there. Right? There is no perfect church. Now, the assembly of God's people must trust the help of God's Spirit and by the word of God journey towards perfection. Is it clear? Is it clear? But there is no perfect local assembly. If you find one, it becomes imperfect the day you join it. Because you are not perfect. Are we together? So quit the rubble rambling about church are hypocrites. Church, I don't know. The church is full of hypocrites. See, the church is full of hypocrites like you. Satan is just using you. Are we together? The church is full of people. The church is full of people. Let God use you to strengthen the church. Because now, the church is full of people. The church is full of hypocrites. And you are not found in the church. You're outside of God's plan. You're outside of God's plan. I've told you, every work of God on the earth is attached to men. That's why we have the Old Testament books. And by the time you read the Old Testament books, the Old Testament books was properly presented, deliberately presented that way. The narratives, the stories, the histories were intentionally written that way, including to reflect the frailties of the men God uses, to show you that the only perfect person in the midst of God's work is God Himself. Are we together? Are we together? So imperfections are normal. We don't pride in it. Are we together? Are we together? We don't rejoice at the imperfections. We don't rejoice at the weaknesses. But it is normal. It is where we have God amongst us. Is it clear? So God will use imperfect vessels to promote His perfect plan. And as we journey alongside, He is also able to help us out of those imperfections, one after the other, collectively as a church, to further promote His perfect plans on the earth. So, sometimes I hear people say, the church, there's something around the church, and the church, you are just... No organization is perfect. Yet you are looking for organization to join. No employment firm, organization is perfect. Yet you are looking for it to join. Why are you looking for an imperfect structure if it's not perfect? But when it comes to church, the reason why you can't be there is because the church is full of. No, the church is full of men like you and I. We trust God's help to get better, to conduct our lives always in a way that glorifies God. But imperfection is never a reason to eject yourself. The consequences of ejecting yourself is more severe than the consequences of the imperfections amongst us. Do you get me, church? Don't allow anybody talk you out of the plans of God. The church is still God's plan. And do you know something? Let me tell you something. Look at me, everybody. He is God. You know the meaning of His God? In the midst of imperfection, He will have His way. He is God. But you, the supervisor of the body of Christ, look at where you are. He is God. Jesus does not complain about His church. You are the one complaining. Jesus does not complain about His church. You can't find Him complaining about the church, lamenting about the church. No, He's not lamenting and complaining. Does He see the inadequacies there? Yes. Is He doing something about it? Yes. Is He complaining? No. Instead of complaining, take responsibility. Take responsibility. Be the help. Be the strength. Be the prayer, the one who prays. Be the one who teaches and helps people out of their weaknesses. Instead of complaining, be the example. Because now you have complained and complained and complained, but you are not an example. I wish you were an example. After you have complained about the church, complained about pastors, complained about this, complained about... I wish you were an example yourself. Focus on being the example. That's why you won't hear me. You won't hear me talking about a church in a bad light. It doesn't concern me. God has given you a work to do. Focus on it. As you focus on that work, it will strengthen other people through your work. Is it clear, church? So He has sent us to be shepherds. Go after the unchurched and the what? The unsaved. Hallelujah. Scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. He speaks of people who are weary. If you look around you today, people who are weary of life, no direction. When you see a people who does not have a sound and a solid direction for their lives, you've seen the harvest of God. You look around you today, you see people who are sick, bodily sick. When you see the bodily sick, you've seen the harvest of Jesus. Those are the harvest of Jesus. The occultic, people that are lost in demonic holds and have made covenants with the works of Satan, with darkness, that have held them in bondage, that is God's harvest. And He has empowered you and I with the power of the Holy Ghost to go after the unsaved. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Look at 1 Samuel 22. I'll talk about this text maybe coming week. 1 Samuel 22. Quickly. So I told us that in shepherding, observe, look at this. He says to feed all the flock, right? Is that the word? All. Someone say all. So in the work of God, there's no dichotomy. There's no dichotomy. All. Knowledge of the glory of God covers what? The earth, as waters cover the sea. All. 1 Samuel 22. All. Someone say all. Young and old, male and female, great and what? Small. Songwriter said. Young and old, male and female, great and what? Small. All. Don't say all. Hallelujah. So God's plan is all, right? For Samuel 22, quickly, verse 1. Let's take it together. David departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. Now look at this quickly. Let's read together. And when his brethren and all his father's house had it, they went down there to meet him. Verse 2, everyone want to go. Read this, let your neighbor hear it. Want to go. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him 400 men. Everyone that were what? In distress. See, this is the harvest of God. The harvest of God is not millionaires of the world. They are not people who have something to offer you. Everyone distressed, everyone in debt. It speaks of people that the society has relegated. Those same people that the society has relegated, those same people that the world doesn't have to want anything to do with them, those same people who have lost hope in themselves, those same people who think that God is against them and not for them, those same people who have not found direction, hope for life, are we together, are part of the harvest. Is it clear, church? So we are not just sent to the rich, we are also sent to the materially poor. That is why I tell you oftentimes that the church is a leveler. The church is a measure. I see some churches, and then you see in the church where the church that is expected to be the measure, we now begin to have parties in the church. No. James said it. James says, if anyone comes into your church that is dressed in a fine linen, that means the person is putting on three-piece suit, and has a golden wristwatch, Italian shoes, and then he's smelling nice in his hand, he's just coming to the service, and he's rolling a key of GLE, maybe 350. Are we together? Or what are those cars again? Or a Lamborghini? Huh? Give me those cars. Or Rolls Royce, G Wagon. Thank you. Ferrari. And then just like this, and then you know, sister Victoria, you see the. Where's the video now? You just see the person at the end. Say, ah, wow, come, sir, sit down here. Are you okay? Should we know today is Sunday though? Should we get you malt? Are you fine? Are you fine? Or do you want 2 seats? No. Then I'm fine. And then James said, a brother now Whose first slipper is not the color of the second slipper? And the cloth is buttoned, but two buttons are missing here. And his hair is not even combed. And then he carries a Bible. Didn't carry Bible. He was carrying Cadillac key. And he was weaving it like this. And the other one carries a Bible. And maybe a notepad. And then walks in quickly. Maybe the other one just walks in like this. Good morning, everyone. And then the other one walks in smartly, ready to receive the word. James said, if you take care or welcome the wealthy one more than you take care or welcome the unwealthy one, he says, you are a man of a bad thought. He says, you are a shame to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what James said. So the church is a leveler. That means in the church, look at this. In the church, we don't want to know, and we don't need to know how much you have. It's not our focus. It's not our focus. It's not our focus. Your age is not our focus. Your material status is not our focus. Your power in the society is not our focus. Our focus is that you are a worshiper of Jesus. Ezekiel Church. Ezekiel Church. A worshiper. So he says these guys came to David. They were in debt, discontented, depressed. When you see a man who is depressed about life, that is the harvest of God. When you see people who are lost to false religion, the hold of false religion, that is the harvest of Jesus. When you see people who are subscribing to false doctrine, harvest of Jesus. When you see people who are not being properly taught in the word of God, that is the harvest of people. And he has called us to be shepherds of those men and women. It's the clear church. To raise them. To bring them in. To lead them. To provide spiritual nurture for them. I trust God that in 2025 we'll be effective at this. We will raise men and women of God. People that the society is giving up on. People who do not have a strong sense of direction. Are we together? I trust God that I will reach much more effective and reach them. Look at Isaiah 45. I close on that text. Glory to God forevermore. So I will set out deliberately. You are a shepherd. Tell your neighbor, say you are a shepherd. Tell your neighbor, say you are a shepherd. You are a shepherd. Tell your neighbor, say you are God's shepherd. And his grace is upon our lives, right? Deliberately. Intentionally. We will set out. Are we together? Are we together? To do what? To bring in. The job is to bring in. Matthew 28:19. Go into all the nations and make disciples. Our work is that of a shepherd, to make disciples. To gather the scattered. The scattered. Maybe next week I'll show you from John 10 verse 2. I'll answer that question. I say one answer. What scattered them? What scattered them? They scattered. They scattered to gather them. The devil scatters them. The devil scatters people using the social media. Yeah. That's why I told you. One of the signs of a strong Christian is that you are free from social media addiction. Kenneth Hagin spoke about it. Kenneth Hagin said, at the time when the social media had not even come, Kenneth Hagin said, the curse of the enemy upon the churches of God in the coming generation is social media. We are seeing it today. We are seeing it today. The social media. The social media. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. You see all sorts. That is how Satan scatters you. Where he shatters you. You are not building anything. There is no focus. ruins your focus, ruins your attention. You think you are living, but you are not living. Because yes, you are alive. There are no fruits you are living. You are not building anything. You are not building for God. You are not able to build personally. What is happening? That is the work of the enemy. See, the moment you observe that your attention is divided, and no matter how you try it, you are not able to bring it together, Satan is working on you. Satan is working on you. The moment you observe that your attention is getting scattered, you can't focus on building something useful. You cannot. Satan is working on you. That is his antics. That's a demonic work. It's a work of the flesh. It's a work of darkness. Are we together? So shepherding is to help you to focus and to build God's plan. We gather the ones the enemy has scattered. The scattering is done by Satan, and is done by a false religion. Scattering, false religion, strongholds of Islam, strongholds of Buddhism, Shintoism, world traditional religions, Soronism, all sorts, syncretism, merging of religions together, ecumenic practices, traditional worshipping practices of deities and the various supernatural beings, making of rituals and all of this. That is how Satan scatters. So we are to go after men embedded in rituals. You can see it takes the power of God. We have the power of God. Scattered. Satan is the one that scatters. He scatters through false doctrines. He scatters through false doctrines. Satan is the one that scatters via the problems. Are we together? Challenges of life many times is orchestrated by the enemy to cause you to not pay attention to God's plans and purposes. Vices, threats. Satan is the one that orchestrates vices in the community. Unless and vices is orchestrated by Satan. Many times it will hide behind many things, but Satan is the one. Is it clear? Scatters people. He scatters families. Terrorism is sponsored by Satan. Terrorism. By Satan. That is why I usually frown at that statement by a particular region and say that thing is the how did they even say it is what God brought. Not like that. There is no more wicked doctrine than that statement. That anything that happens, it is as God wills. It is God that brought it. How? No. Jesus showed us that not everything is what God brings. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppression is not a move alone. It is not. Are we together? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is it clear, church? Scattered through afflictions of life, demonic afflictions, oppressions of demons, depression. Is an oppression of Satan. When you feel depressed, you have no hope in life. You are wondering, so what is life? Some people get to a point where they now feel, let me end it. No! That is an oppression of a demon. When a demonic voice becomes so loud, you lose hope in living. See, being alive is a gift of God. Being alive in itself is enough to cause you great joy. When you are sad at it, it is Satan walking. Is it clear? Satan walking. These are works of the enemy. To weary you, to make you not to be led. It is you and I responsibility to go after such people. Isaiah 45. Look for me, I close here. In Isaiah 45, glory to God forevermore. In Isaiah 45, Isaiah spoke about Cyrus. The text I'm going to explain the text as we go on.
In Isaiah 45. If you look at chapter 44 and then verse 24.
Thus hear the Lord, I, thy Redeemer. He that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord, make thee all things. Stretched forth the heavens alone, spread about the heart by myself. Frustrated the tokens of the land, make it divine as man. Turned the wise backward and make their knowledge foolish. To confirm the word of the servant and perform the counsel of his messenger. Said unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited. The city of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. 27. Therefore, he says, that saith to the deep, he says, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. I said to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and upon him shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built unto the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Verse chapter 45, verse 1. Thus hear the Lord, who is anointed to Cyrus, whose right hand I hold, to subdue nations before him. Sons and nations. Sons and nations. Subdue nations before him. And I'll lose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaf gates, and the gate shall not be shut. See, the gates are not shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. See, the paths are making straight. I made straight. See, the paths are made straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. See, the breaking of the gate of brass and the cutting asunder of the bars of iron speaks about setting free the captives, the nations. So he calls the nations captives. The nations are in captivity. So he says, I will lose the loins of the king. That means the grip that the kings of the earth has on nations, I will lose it. I will set men free from the holds of the king, so that my people can be built. Is it clear? So you see that God is in a building project on the earth. And the building, are we together? Is by shattering the holds of demonic rulers on the lives of people. Because the king's here today has to do with principalities and powers that is holding men bound in darkness. That is the significance of the kings here. It has to do with an authority that is placing a hold on what God wants, holding it back from serving the purposes of God. God says, I will break it. Are we together, church? This is a text for you and I today on evangelism and world evangelism and discipleship. Look at it. It says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut asunder the bars of iron. The bars of iron refers to the fetters and the chains which men are held bound. And I'll give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places. And thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, have even called thee by my name, by thy name. I have so named thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gathered thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, that is all over the world, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Hallelujah. He says in verse 3, I will give thee the treasures of darkness. The treasures of darkness there is talking from Genesis 1. The darkness in Genesis 1, how God brought light out of darkness. So Genesis 1, verse 2, it was void without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1, verse 3, is not something God did. It's what God does. Genesis 1 verse 3 is a continuous activity of God on the earth. That was why thousands of years later, when Christ came, he says, I am the light. And he was talking about the darkness, talking from Genesis. So, Genesis 1 verse 3, did God do something there? Yes, but it is an opening theme of the Bible to show the reader of the Bible, it is light out of darkness that you will read throughout the entire scriptures. Across the generations of the scriptures. From Moses, light out of darkness. Israel, they don't fear. Are we together, church? Are we together? Then again, right from the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, And then out of the hands of all the other kings, he will set forth. So by Luke chapter 2, when Jesus came, right, in Matthew 4 also, he says, great light has shone. Are we together? Upon those that sat in darkness. Light out of darkness is a central theme of the scriptures to show you what God will do, what God does in the earth. He calls light out of darkness. So it means that in the midst of the shattered and the scattered people, God's ministers will arise. Are we together, church? Apostles, prophets, evangelists will arise in the midst of what? The shattered people. In the midst of captivity, he declared, he will bring out his great vision. Are we together? God is still going into the dark places. His harvest is in the midst of prostitutes. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? Those are the kind of men that came to David. The depressed, the destitute, the one indebted, the one that has no hope. And David, through the help of God, was able to raise mighty men among them. As a symbol of Jesus, raising his most choice men from the midst of darkness. God is still doing the same to you and I. And he will use you in 2025. It's a possible mission. Light out of darkness. In Acts 8, we find a former Babalawo in Acts 8, Simon the sorcerer. Are we together? And then he saw that by the laying on of hands, are we together? Now, if you look at the guy, maybe you might not really chide him. You might not really rebuke him much, because that was what he was used to. He was used to offering money to get something. But you see, the man saw something and honored it. Is it clear, church? Out of the midst of people with disdain for the things of God, who raise passionate ministers. Are we together? So when I see darkness, God is telling me there are treasures in it. Those who are held bound in the hold of drugs and substance abuse, God ministers among them. He wants you to reach them. Young girls who are given over to different works of the flesh to go and have sex for money, useless your body for money, God is saying, my ministers are there. Are we together, church? In 2025, we are focusing on groups that others are not reaching. Are we together? Those groups of people that others are not reaching, we are focusing on them. Difficult people, we are focusing on them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Cultists, we are focusing on cultists in 2025. We will deal with it in prayer. Are we together? We will obtain the power of God in prayer. Are we together? Then we will see the power on the people. Is it clear, church? People that have given up on life will go after them. But one thing is clear and certain. God's work is what? Shepherding. Secondly, you have been called to shepherd. Is it clear, church? Ezekiel, church, I recognize that I'm shepherd on God's behalf. The grace of God is upon our lives. So the work of evangelism and soul winning is not casual. It's not by the side. It's something I do dedicatedly. It's something I do passionately. It's something I do purposefully. We are shepherds and we have been sent to go out after the lost sheep with whose voice? With the voice of the chief shepherd on our voice. See, as we speak in the coming year, people will hear the voice of Jesus. They will hear the voice beckoning them home into the house and the family of God to function in God's divine plans and purposes for themselves. Hallelujah. As I stretch forth my hands to heal the sick, it will be the end of Jesus. As I open my heart and give instructions, the voice of God will be heard. Bars of iron will be broken. Fetters will be broken. Demonic holds and afflictions will be broken over lives. Hallelujah. So people do not see any good about them, people that do not even see any good about themselves, will go after them. Will go after them. Say, I'll go after them. So God is looking at the sheep through your eyes. Anytime I see the unsaved, anytime I see men that are not filled with the Holy Ghost, anytime I see people who are not living according to God's divine plans and purposes, you know what, brother? You know what, sister? God is looking at his hardness to your eyes. Hallelujah. And you're empowered to do something, to change, to restore, to redeem, to heal, to direct, and the grace of God is upon our lives. Have you learned something this morning? Just go ahead and pray more in this way right now over what you have. Yes, I see myself just as he sees me. Yes, God's own shepherd. I function in God's grace. I function in God's grace. In 2025, I function much more in God's grace. Ministry of the shepherd. Pray in the Spirit. Lift up those hands as you pray in the Spirit. Yes. Yes. Strengthen ministries. Shepherds, shepherds, shepherds. The grace of God for shepherds. Coming afresh as the church. The grace of God is shepherding. It's coming afresh. The grace of God is shepherding, coming afresh.